fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, Chef SP, doing the good do for you. It's Saturday. I'm feeling good. We're going to keep the show moving and grooving today because I don't want to waste any time. But let me break down what's going to happen today on today's show. I'm stuck here with my man, not stuck here, but I'm here with my man, JT ATM Money, and we're going to discuss week six in the NFL and what to expect from certain teams and their players. We'll discuss the issues outside of, well, I don't know if we're really going to talk about the issues that took place outside of the St. Louis Cardinals game a couple days ago, but I'm trying to keep it to an hour and a half, but we might get into it. But some Ferguson protesters clashed with some people going to the game, and it was a big topic. And we might talk about it. We might do it tomorrow, or we might do a special show, but we're going to discuss it. But also we want to talk about a little bit about the ALCS and the NLCS as the Kansas City Royals look for real. Lord might be singing her song at the World Series. She might be singing her song at the World Series, I'm telling you. Because Kansas City, they proved that they were resilient and knew how to play the game for extra innings. Then St. Louis beats up on San Fran. Oh, and did you hear about Johnny Manziel making comments about Mr. Gurley at Georgia? We're going to hear from Johnny Manziel himself. Also, we're going to hear from Patrick Willis on going against a Jeff Fisher-coached team. With that being said, we're going to jump right into it. So let me introduce my co-host, JT ATM Money, a.k.a. The Cash Out, which I'll be doing this Sunday night. I'm going to punch my password into the ATM. He's going to spell $100. $100 towards your boy, Mr. FSP. JT, let's go.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for that nice introduction. I appreciate that. And hello, all you people who are listening out there. Second of all, it ain't happening. So I can tell you. Now, we had talked briefly on air, and just before the show started, I gave you one reason why the Washington Redskins will not beat the Arizona Cardinals at home, and you will not be getting that money. You'll be sending it to me. First of all, I'll say this. Arizona Cardinals are playing at home, and they play a lot better, especially on defense. I understand they got defensive problems. They play a lot better on defense when they're home. Believe that. Second of all, Drew Stanton, I don't know if you know this or not, got the clearance. He will play in place of Logan Thomas on Sunday. Big upgrade of quarterback, and your Washington Redskins are in deep doo-doo. Hello.
So you're saying our team's in deep doo-doo because of Drew Stanton?
Absolutely. That means one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL are going up against Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Ellington, who's in a passing game, and especially Michael Floyd. You guys are – trust me.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. The past two Michigan State quarterbacks making the NFL are going to face each other. Drew Stanton and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins holds all the records at Michigan State.
That's college.
I know. Kirk Cousins also has a better – set of offensive weapons because Jordan Reed is returning. We can talk about this game first. I didn't want to, but we can. But just to let you know, Drew Stanton's going to get his stuff split. And Andre Ellington in the past game, yeah, they might do a little something, but they're not going to do enough to stop us because they are banged up defensively. And I see Alfred Morris having a great day. But we'll get to that when we get to that because I'm going to dial in my PIN code so I can get my money from the ATM.
It ain't happening. You thought that before, and it came my way. But that's okay. I gladly take any contribution that Mr. FSP for some pay. That's what I say, FSP for some pay from you. I'd gladly take it.
We'll see, brother. We'll see. Okay, check it out. We're going to do this real quick because we have a lot of football to get to. But let's talk about the ALCS and the NLCS. Now, last night, both games happened. And Kansas City, we talked about this, Jerry. We talked about this when we did our little preview of the playoffs or the pennant race, that Kansas City was a dangerous team.
Yep.
And, you know, they put it together yesterday. Talk to me a little bit about that game, if you caught any of it.
Well, let me put it this way. I didn't watch the game, but the hero of the game was the guy I talked about. That's when he's one of the underrated players in the Major League Baseball, and I've had him on my roster when I'm playing fantasy baseball for the last couple of seasons. And I'm talking about Alex Gordon. Decent hitter. He's even getting better as the years go by, as a either a clutch hitter and a solid doubles hitter that has power to hit the ball out of the park. So this doesn't surprise me. These guys, this is the first time in 29 years that they've been in playoffs. They have a hell of a team with a very good pitching staff, who we talked about that Detroit was going to have a problem with them. Well, quite naturally, Detroit did have a problem with them, and they moved on. Now their next opponent got serious issues with them, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you see him in the big game, the big series. So they got off to a good start. For the simple fact is they're used to playing in close games, and they know how to play in these close games because obviously they played in a few in order to get to where they're at right now in the playoffs. So with a great bullpen, great closer, and a decent pitching staff, they can go a long way with the hitters they have.
And that's the funny thing, Jerry, that – you know, Kansas City played long ball yesterday, and the Orioles played small ball. And
the
Orioles, you know, led the major leagues with home runs, and Kansas City hit the least amount of home runs. So it was a dichotomy. I mean, look at that, the big shift in gameplay. Again, I'm happy for both teams. I'm more happy for Baltimore because they're closer to the D.C. area. I was hoping for a Baltimore-Washington World Series, but that might not happen. It might be an all-Missouri World Series if things keep up the way they're going. But it's very interesting to see, you know, big game James Shields go out there and pitch like he did. Now, the team reacted the way that, you know, management, I guess, wanted them to react. This is more of the Billy Beane style, the Oakland Athletics, if those that don't know who Billy Beane is. Style of putting a team together. Not a lot of big names. You spend a little money on a couple of key free agents, and you get a good result. And they beat a team that's a perennial World Series contender in Detroit with all their Cy Young winners and big bats. So this is saying something about Kansas City to me. They might not have won their division, but they are a formidable team. And then they come to Baltimore and defeat Baltimore, extra innings, great matchup. I think it'll be a very, very close matchup. It might draw a lot of ratings. Let's go over to the NL side. Over here, San Francisco took on St. Louis, and it was another great game. And we talked about this last Saturday intermittently, when I said that St. Louis has the more complete team. You know, they play like a complete team, and they took care of business against the Giants. Now, I didn't see the game because I was too busy watching Stanford and I forgot Stanford. Oh, Washington State yesterday. and doing other things. But talk to me. Did you see any of that, or did you get any glimpses of that matchup?
I haven't watched it. To tell you the truth, I have not watched any baseball in the playoffs. I haven't watched one inning. I may have watched a half an inning, if that. But it doesn't surprise me that, and it's refreshing that these teams that come out of nowhere, I should say, or the least expected teams by the so-called experts, that are doing some damage in the playoffs. And San Francisco won that game last night, right? If I'm not mistaken about that.
No, I thought St. Louis won.
St. Louis won that game.
I believe they did. Let me check, bro. Because I could have sworn that they were talking this morning about how St. Louis put together a great game and defeating them because Bruce Bochy said he was impressed with what happened with St. Louis. Oh, I guess they didn't play yet. My bad. I thought they played last night.
No, Kansas City and Orioles played last night. That's my thought. Both of them are playing today.
Yeah.
The second of the series at Kansas City and Baltimore are playing today, and the first game of the Giants and Cardinals are playing today. You got Madison Baumgartner going against Adam Wainwright tonight.
So who do you have in this game?
Well,
in this matchup?
From what I understand, Adam Wainwright, it's got somewhat of an elbow issue. Even though he's pitching through it, I would have to go with, you know what? I'm going off the norm. Both these series got two wild card teams in them. I'm going with the Giants over the Cardinals. Adam Wainwright, one of these big name pitchers, just like Kershaw, that I don't think he can get it done today, which is a big blow, because when you throw out your big game pitcher, your big pitcher, and he doesn't win, it sets back and opens the eyes of the losing team, because we sent our best pitcher out there and he couldn't get it done. So I think I know Giants have two things going against them. They got a battle-tested Cardinals team that knows how to win in these type of environments, and the Cardinals are playing at home. Those are two things that the Giants have to overcome. But they have a very hot pitcher in Madison Baumgartner that has been pitching lights out. So I'm going with the Giants and the scrappy Giants.
Okay. You know, I'm out here in the area, and I'm mad at the Giants for what they did to my Nats. So I'm going to go with St. Louis just because. That's the only reason, because I'm going to hate them. I'm going to hate on them. But it promises to be a good series. Both teams are veteran teams. You know, they're not very young or anything like that. And they know how to win. Both know how to win. And that's an important factor, especially coming to the ALS and the NL, ALCS and the NLCS. You need to know how to win and weather the storm. You know, once you weather the storm and put it together, you can do anything. And both of these teams, talking about the Cardinals and the Giants, know how to do that. So I look forward to walking around in the area and seeing all the sad faces when San Francisco loses. I'm just going to hate.
Oh, boy, you're just a hater. What's up with that, man?
What's
up with that?
They eliminated my Nationals. They eliminated my Nationals. I think they deserve to be eliminated by the Cardinals.
Hey, man, what can I tell you? I told you I wasn't feeling your Nationals. I'll tell you that. I told you that. But it is what it is.
Your Mets suck anyway. But.
Well, see, what relevance is that? We're talking about this, and so you want to go a little further in the hate route and talk about my team, the Mets, when that has nothing to do with the conversation that we're talking about.
Because I'm a hater. Haters going to hate.
Yeah, I can see that. So I'm wondering, I know you did it last time. I'm wondering if you're going to do it again this time when you lose and have to fork over that Benjamin again.
You know what? I'm not going to have to fork anything over because I am the man. You suck. And you know what? Just for saying that, you get this.
Well, you would say that because the fact is that see, now I just rattled your confidence in your team. I just rattled your confidence in your team, so you want to revert to things like that. But this is fine. I understand that.
No.
I've dealt with you for so long, Victor. I understand the mindset, so it's no problem. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Well,
doesn't affect me.
In your own words, since you said you have to deal with my mindset.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'll take that to my dying grave. It does. It does.
All right, check. Ladies and gentlemen out there listening to us, this is the FSP Show. If you want to call in, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. That's the FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com hotline where winners, winning players place to go there today and place your wagers to get paid. It's a lot of money to be made this weekend, guys. A lot of money to be made. We're going to step away. Oh, wow. We're going to step away. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going straight into, straight into our fantasy football predictions. And since Jerry won't share his gems today, he'll probably share them tomorrow on this show.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to. This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to.
What's up, fellas? What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's me, Mr. FSP, along with JTH and Money right here on Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. By the way, if you want to check out the week's shows and what's going on, you can always go over to spotonradio.webs.com where we're streaming 24/7, 365. The previous week's episodes. So today's show should be up there no later than tomorrow, Sunday, and so on and so forth. So we have that there for you, and we know that you're going to enjoy it. Why? Because I said so. Now, traditionally, we play a little music and stuff when we go over this, but I don't know if I'll play music today. But I will stick with tradition and hit you with a little bit of Bulls on Parade.
Here we go. Go! Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprint. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Here we go, JTATM Money. New England at Buffalo, first Saturday game. We're going to skip over your pathetic Houston Texans losing to the Colts because that's...
Wait a minute. Let's back up for a minute. excuse me. I know that he would try to get that past me before I even decided to say anything. But no. Let me put it this way. It wasn't a pathetic. It was, how can I say it? Let me put it this way. It happens to teams. Doesn't always happen a lot, but it does happen to teams that they get off to a poor start. Now, not 24 points to nothing, poor start, but it happens. But I have to, and I'm not picking out any moral victories or anything like that. They had an opportunity to win at the with about two minutes left in the game. Well, maybe a little bit more, and two of the main cogs in the offense, meaning Andre Johnson, who coughed up the ball, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who also coughed up the ball, was the reason that we didn't get ourselves in a position to win the game. Let me put it that way. But to be down 24-0 and then lose the game 33-28, what's that telling you about the resiliency of the Houston Texans? And if they hadn't started out, and I know it's a big if they hadn't started out 24-0, it was a strong possibility they would have won that game in decisive fashion, because they, after that 24-0 onslaught, I should say, and a lot of mental breakdowns and communication problems in the defense, Houston Texas defense played lights out, and the offense complimented them to put some points up there to make it as close as it was.
Okay, can we move on now that you've made an excuse for your team? All right, Buffalo.
But my team is 3-3.
Right.
I know another team that's 1-4. I'm just saying.
Oh.
I'm just saying. So
okay.
You want to go that route? I can go that route too. So. I'm just saying.
By the end of the weekend, New England travels to Buffalo. Tom Terrific, or not so terrific, takes his talents to Buffalo. Buffalo has a new owner. So what we'll do real quick, JT, just like we did or we're doing on all the other shows, you take one team, I'll take the next. I'll take Buffalo, you take New England. All right, Buffalo hosts New England with Cal Orton making his second start, and he looked pretty good versus Detroit. Getting them in position to win their game at Detroit. Of course, a missed field goal helped them with short field position, and Sammy Watkins' juggling catch did it. Fred Jackson went out of the game. He was a little nicked up. C.J. Spiller did absolutely nothing. But Jackson made a very pungent statement after the game, when he said, it's nice to have a veteran quarterback back there. That speaks a lot about E.J. Manuel, where his career with Buffalo is going to go from here on out. Kyle Orton is a very experienced quarterback. However, I think if Fred Jackson remains sidelined or nicked up to the point where he can't be a big contributor, C.J. Spiller is going to have a very rough go of it this Sunday. I believe that the defense can cause trouble for Brady if they use Tim Wright, just like they did Aaron Hernandez. Maybe New England can score, but Buffalo's pretty good covering the tight end. And Leotis McKelvin is gonna, who's their star, Buffalo's star cornerback. He's got a good shot at disrupting Mr. I don't want to say Amendola because he's not even number one, Julian Edelman, in his routes and causing trouble for Tom Brady's targets. Buffalo stands a good chance of winning this game. I'm going to be quite honest. They stand a good chance of winning this game. This is an opportunity for this team to say, look, we're on top of this division. We're going to stay on top of this division. It's time to put the old boys out to pasture. It's time to do it. And I like Buffalo's chances in this game. I'm actually going to pick Buffalo in this game, even though I don't like C.J. Spiller back there. I believe Kyle Ward will have the experience to spread the ball around and do some things with that offense. JT.
Well, this is how I see it.
Oh my God, are you gonna take?
I'm gonna give you. Tom Brady is questionable. I know they play games on the with the injury report with New England, but he's dealing with an ankle issue. But it's just like a kid who's found a new toy. Look, Mom, see what I found. This is the team that started the run on two tight end sets, playing two tight ends. One's a big tight end, Ron Gronkowski, that can block and catch the ball. The other one is a more athletic tight end, a.k.a. Formerly of Aaron Hernandez. Now it's Tim Wright. Give you a little nugget, people. This is probably the only one I'm going to give today. And I'll probably give again tomorrow, but I don't want to give it today. Bill Belichick started this, and I had said before that it would see a lot of other teams going about and doing the same thing. And a lot of other teams are doing that and using the tight end quite a lot more than they would use in the past. Patriots found something that works. Okay, besides their running game, besides not having the capable wide receivers like they've had, like they occasionally had in the past, they decided at one point to go to two tight ends because they had two tight ends that were capable of doing the damage that they've done in the past, as in Aaron Hernandez and Ron Gronkowski. Gronkowski's been hurt, now he's healthy. Aaron Hernandez, as everyone knows, is not there anymore. Here comes for Logan Mankins. They traded for him, probably coached him up over a period of time, and unleashed him last week. And I think Tim Wright is going to be a viable option. Maybe not as in the same vein as Aaron Hernandez, but just another added piece that obviously the Patriots saw. Something, decided to shake things up a little bit because they didn't have the wide receivers that they thought they had. And they got rid of Kenbrook Tompkins. He went over to the Raiders, gave an opportunity for this athletic tight end to get in there, and he showed out last week. I think they're only going to build more into the offense and having these two tight ends work the middle of the field or whatever, along with Edelman. And I'll give you another nugget, and this is a guy to stash in New England. I talked about him last week. I picked him up in a couple of teams because I do believe this guy is going to be a piece somewhere during the season, and once he gets in there, I think he's going to be a steady piece. I'm talking about Brian Timms. A lot of people never heard of him. He just came off a four-game suspension last week. And he just got activated at the last minute last week. He didn't play. They're probably going to coach him up, make sure he is able to get into the lineup. He's a burner. He was the Pro Football Focus. And I'll say this again. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. He was the Pro Football Focus number one wide receiver coming out of the preseason. In the preseason, he was the number one wide receiver, and the Patriots thought a lot of him, but then he got suspended for the first four games, and now he's back. If you got roster room, it would be a nice stash to put him on your bench and to see what happens. Brian Timms, T-Y-M-S. With that being said, New England goes into Buffalo, has a tough time because it's a division rival, and wins the game.
Jerry, I love you like a brother. You took 20 minutes for that synopsis. But you know what? I'm not going to complain, you know why? Because you weren't selfish. Instead of sharing on the master plan, which is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you shared on the Fantasy Sports and Politics show right here on Saturday. So you're learning. You're learning. I'm very happy. Okay, let's move on. I'm not going to complain. Let's go to Carolina.
I'll be shorter. I'll be shorter next time.
Thank you. Thank you. Because we've got a lot of stuff to go through, and I'm trying to keep it.
I know. But I had to get that out, and I was on a roll.
I know. Y'all got a slow roll, but you're on a roll. All right. Carolina, Cincinnati. Cam Newton goes into this game. Well, I'll take Carolina to Cincinnati because A.J. Green looks like he's not going to play, and Marvin Jones is coming back this week. But Carolina has no run game. Jonathan Stewart is supposed to make a go of it this week and get the lion's share of the run game. Cam Newton is looking at Kelvin Benjamin more times than any receiver that he has. Greg Olsen, well, opposite of Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's a little messed up, but he's going to play. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Cincinnati got mollywopped versus New England last week. The problem is this. Greg Olsen is just as good as Gronkowski. But I don't believe that Carolina has a second running tight end that can be just as effective as Wright was last week. The two tight end formations kind of, made things difficult for Cincinnati. Now, Buford is supposed to make his return, and I'm quite sure the outside linebacker is going to make some different plays than his predecessor or his replacement did. But listen, I like Cam Newton in this game to go for 300 yards. I really do. He's not Tom Brady. Got it. But I like Kelvin Benjamin in the slot. Jason Avant on the outside, and Jericho Cottry, if he's going to play, on the other side, doing some things and using his height, Benjamin's height, along with Greg Olsen down the middle of the field. Same concept, different positions. Now on the opposite side, that Carolina defense. I don't know what happened against Chicago, but they turned it up a little bit. They cut it look mortal last week, even though there were some sloppy situations on both sides of the ball. The fumbled punt that got returned for a touchdown, you can't do that in this game. Cincinnati's at home, where they rarely lose. So with that being said, I'm telling you to play your big three, Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin, and Greg Olsen in this game. I think they're going to prove to be very good for you. The defense is going to be tough. It's going to be tough, even though they're a very high-octane defense at rushing the passer. I'm quite sure Jerry's going to talk about this, about Giovanni and Young and all that. They're good at stopping the run. So this is going to come down to, in my opinion, can the Carolina secondary cover Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones, and the backs out of the backfield? I'm not sure, but I'm going to pick Cincinnati to win this at home, but Cam Newton to have a big day. Thank you, your turn.
All right, my turn is this. Cincinnati is one of the better defenses. Well, they still are one of the better defenses, even though that onslaught they got last week. Only allowed 76 points compared to them scoring 97 points. They're playing at home. I absolutely love Cincinnati to win this game. Hugh Jackson is going to run some more because Marvin Jones is not going to be there. A.J. Green is not going to be there. It's only going to be Mohamed Sanu and whoever else that they have to pass to. So you can best believe that the run game is going to be in effect, and who better to run against than one of the worst defenses, I should say, in Carolina against the run. Don't know what happened to their defense. It decided to not try to play this year, maybe wait for the next year to play, because their run defense has been absolutely gassed the last 2 weeks by Chicago and Pittsburgh in consecutive weeks. And Cincinnati is a running team. So with that being said, I like Cincinnati.
All right. We have there's a person in a league down there. It's the Dudes Fantasy Football League. And there's a trade I'm going to talk to you about coming up once we get to Baltimore. And I want to get your opinion. I thought it was way one-sided, and it's terrible how some of these guys were defending the trade or whatever, but we'll talk about it. But this is a team right here in Cincinnati that some people might be starting to sell low on A.J. Green. This is the second time A.J. Green's going to miss a game within the first 6 weeks of the season, you know, and it's going to be tough for owners to hold on to him, even though he's a perennial Pro Bowler and top scorer. He has a condition on his foot that's worse than plantar fasciitis from the reports. And, you know, we go back to Antonio Gates, how long it took him to fully recover from that. And plantar fasciitis. Now, if you have a condition worse than that, is this the time to sell A.J. Green before things get worse? And we'll talk about the same thing with Megatron once we get to the game, but I want to get your thoughts on that before we move on, Jerry, real quick.
Well, I wouldn't be hesitant. I mean, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be hastily trading him until you wait and see what happens. All right, he missed, what, two games so far?
In six games, though. This is the sixth game. Actually, he had a bye week. So he's missed two games out of five.
Okay. Let me put it this way. If you get rid of him, you're selling him on the cheap. So you're not going to get that much for him because he's an injured player if you get someone to accept that trade and accept that risk. So the only choice you have is to hold on to him if you want to and wait it out because you're not going to get full value for A.J. Green. You may, just because his name doesn't mean that you're going to get anything because quite naturally everybody who plays fantasy football for the most part knows that A.J. Green is hurt. Because he's a named player, so it's plastered all over the internet and through on TV. So you're not going to get full value. So no, I wouldn't trade him because of that reason. And just hold on to him. You got to hold on to him. Eventually he'll get healthy. And if he gets healthy, he's not worth trading because the fact is he's healthy. Unless he can get healthy enough to play, and you don't want to have him. You don't want to have him on your team. And possibly go into a relapse, then you can probably try to get some value for him. For right now, he's not worth much because he's hurt.
Okay. Good insight there. Let's move on to our next game, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Now, I know you want to take Pittsburgh.
No, you can take any. I'm a versatile person, man. It does not make a difference who I take.
I'm going to give you Pittsburgh because I know you have three of their players in every league that you are in except for a few. And I'll take Cleveland. And I'm going to start off on the best side of Cleveland, the defense. And this is a big problem. Joe Hayden might not play. Now, typically, Antonio Brown abuses Joe Hayden anyway. So that leaves a rookie cornerback and a third-year cornerback out there to cover Antonio Brown and the rest of Pittsburgh's secondary. That's kind of scary. Now, Cleveland's defense isn't that bad. It's probably the best part of their team right now, but that's a red flag for me, fantasy owners. If you got Ben Roethlisberger, unless you got Jay Cutler going against Atlanta, sorry, secondary, you want to play Ben Roethlisberger in this game. Versus that defense. He already killed him one time. He killed him earlier in his first game of the season. It might happen again. Now, on the offensive side of Cleveland, this is the game that Ben Tate got injured in, where his knee got jacked up. He shut out a couple games, and he's coming back to go against him. Ben Tate looked pretty good last week, going over 100 yards, 130-something yards rushing, and that offense clicked. Missing in action again is Mr. Jordan Cameron. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, until Josh Gordon returns, which is week 10, week 11, Jordan Cameron's not going to be a valuable tight end. You can use him if you want. He only had three catches for 36 yards on seven targets last week. But you got to remember, his production is predicated on the downfield ability of the receivers. Now, another Benjamin's in this game. He had two touchdowns last week, but it was 20 yards and in type situation, which is good, but also is Jordan Cameron's area. if that other Benjamin's getting his touches in the red zone, he's not that valuable. Ryan Hoyer, he looked pretty good last week. First time he went over 250 all season. And he's keeping Johnny Manziel out of the equation. But since I'm talking about Johnny Manziel, I'm going to bring in Johnny Manziel real quick, and we're going to intertwine a little college and a little pro. Johnny Manziel, and we got to remember, Johnny Manziel is in the pros. So why is he talking about Gurley?
Obviously know what Todd's going through right now, and, you know, I feel for him. I feel that, you know, obviously I don't know every single entity of the situation that he's in, but at the same time, I mean, I think he's done a great job and worked extremely hard to make a name for himself on the football field, and he has an image and he has a likeness, and he has obviously a want and a need for his autograph.
So I want to talk about that too, Jay, just a little bit. But Cleveland, Andrew Hawkins, he's been an okay receiver. He's been like a number three because he's getting catches, getting yards, but he's not getting the end zone. Van Tate is the guy to play right now. Isaiah Crowell still getting a couple touches. But for some reason, the odd man out is Terrence West. They've got some backs in Cleveland. They really do. And they can be tough on Pittsburgh's defense. So here's my question, Mr. Taylor. What do you think about Johnny Manziel's comments, and should he just keep his mind and focus on the NFL, even though somebody might have asked him that question?
Well, you know, let me put it this way. If I was Johnny Manziel, this is the answer I would have given. I'm not close to the situation. I don't know Todd Gurley that well, or whatever his first name is. I'm sorry if I didn't get it right. I don't know the situation. I just know of what I heard in the news, and I really don't have a comment on it. Versus what he said. Shut the hell up, Johnny. I mean, come on. You know, some guys just don't get it, don't understand that the more you say, the worse you just dig yourself a hole. And every time he opens his mouth, it just shows just because you got money, your parents got money, don't make you smart. So, God, just to shut. I've had enough of Johnny Manziel. Trust me, I didn't like him coming out of college. Still don't like him. Even that much more because he opens his mouth when he just said should just stay out of it, even no comment or whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with him. He's out of the college, but he's still got that college mindset. That's what the problem is. Still got that college mindset, even though he's in the pros. We'll see what happens. Otherwise than that, you want me to talk about the game, or you want to?
Yes. I'm going to put Pittsburgh in the game to win again because of Joe Hayden being out, and I think Antonio Brown's going to explode. But it's your turn to talk about Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Let me say something here. Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, the three amigos, take a cash register. And listen to the sound, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching in fantasy sports. Trust me, these guys are in for some nice games tomorrow. Maybe not so much Ben Roethlisberger because he doesn't put up a lot of big numbers for the most part against Cleveland. But I expect Antonio Brown with a Joe Hayden-less secondary, with a Justin Gilbert, who is not too high up on the coach's list as a very good DB right now. He's a rookie, and he hasn't really been playing that well. I expect him to have a very good game against whoever they scheme up against him. He already burned Joe Hayden, so that was their best one. So what's going to happen when Joe Hayden's not there? And he goes up against somebody else. Now, somebody else, J.A.G., just another guy, may may be a match for Antonio Brown. You never know, but I wouldn't count on it. Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, he's the number one. I understand DeMarco Murray has been running well, but if it came to me, DeMarco Murray or Le'Veon Bell, I'm biased to Le'Veon Bell. I like more what he's doing than like a DeMarco Murray, and not to discount what DeMarco Murray is doing.
Of course you do. That's your boo-boo.
Who's more durable? Let me put it that way. Who's more durable?
Well, we know Le'Veon only has a year under his belt. You know, DeMarco has a few, and you're right, because during DeMarco's time, he's been nipped at an injured before they would give him the rock 24 times a game. Now
mm-hmm.
they give him the rock 24 times a game, he's fumbling once a game. And Jason Garrett's now saying he's going to, you know, slow that down a little bit. But I think this is the wrong game to do it, but we haven't gotten to that game yet. We'll talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But, again,
Cleveland, I like Pittsburgh.
All right, you like Pittsburgh. So do I. Hopefully Antonio Brown doesn't kick the punter in his face again, but we'll see. You never know. But let's move forward with Green Bay going to Miami. Here's the deal. I'll let you take Green Bay. I'll take Miami. Miami has a returning running back in No'Shawn Moreno, who's no doubt going to be splitting a little bit of time with Lamar Miller because he's probably not 100% after dislocating his elbow. But it's obvious that No'Shawn Moreno is the back to have in Miami. He's the biggest producer. He also opens things up for Mike Wallace in single coverage, Brian Hartline, and the rest of those guys. When he's not there, you get the sad performance that has the coach saying it's time to replace the quarterback. Now, last week, week before last, they had a little medicine when they went to London and played the Raiders and beat up on the Raiders in London. But now it's time to come back to reality, and your defense has to show up. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Miami defense, their starting linebackers, all three starting linebackers, are injured. So they're using their secondary guys, and they're doing a good job. Their front four is getting pressure. Vernon, or something like that, I can't get his full name, I'm sorry, forgive me. They're putting pressure on edge, and helping out the defensive tackles and the other defensive end get pressure on quarterbacks. But the secondary, I'm worried about it, especially going up against Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and, Aaron Rodgers. The problem is the offense is not going to help the defense in this game. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to have to hand that rock off quite a bit in order to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Translation, play No'Shawn Moreno and Lamar Miller. If you're in the PPR, you're going to get a lot of points for their touches. Yards and reception and touchdowns, I'm not sure about. But I do know that if No'Shawn Moreno is playing, he's going to get a lot of those touches. A lot of those touches. So with that being said, I know Miami's at home. I know it's the beginning of October. And freaky things happen down in Miami in October. I'm going to have to pick Green Bay in this game, but I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. A lot closer than people think. Go ahead, JC.
I don't think it's going to be close at all. Miami is, I know they came off a bye, so the numbers are a little skewed because they're coming off a bye, and Green Bay has played five full games. Miami's only played four. Miami is 2-2. They've scored 96 points, and they've had 97 points scored against them. Okay? That tells me 2-2, and same with the point and against and four differential are basically the same. They're a 500 team. That's all. That they're a 500 team. They're going up against one of the prolific offenses in the league with one of the best quarterbacks in all of football. Green Bay has scored, if I'm not mistaken, the fourth, fifth amount, most amount of points in the league. 134 points scored for, 106 plus 28 point differential. They're going down to Miami. They're coming off a bye. I understand that Miami's going to have that much extra time to game plan against Green Bay. I understand the head coach came from Green Bay before he was the head coach of Miami. But understand this. Miami is not that good a team. Ryan Tannehill is one of the most hit or sacked quarterbacks in the league. Was last year, and still he's got that same problem this year. And he doesn't work well under pressure. I like Green Bay big time in this game. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Green Bay is going to lay the smack down on them and keep it moving.
I got to disagree with you. I think it's going to be a close game, especially if they use Knowshon Moreno and Lamar Miller. You know, Eddie Lacy has been a disappointment thus far for fantasy owners, so far. And Miami's defense isn't that easy to run against. They're not that easy to run. Use your point out yourself. 92 and 93 or whatever point differential for and against the team. The defense can't score all the time or every week. They can try. But Brent Grimes and Jordy Nelson is going to be a very good matchup. Just going to point that out. It's going to be, he's about to throw the ball.
Well, let me ask you something here. So you say it's going to be a close game. You think Miami's going to be throwing the ball more or running the ball?
No, running. They're going to run the ball more.
You think that they're going to run the ball more? So like I said, Green Bay's got a plus 28 differential before and against versus Miami, who's even, basically even, in scoring the same amount of points as they give up. So we'll split the difference. We'll say that Green Bay, rather than have a 28-point difference between what Miami scores and what Green Bay scores, we'll say that we'll split the difference and say it's a plus 14. So they're 14 points down. Going into the game, Miami's 14 points down. Do you think they're going to still run the ball?
Here's the deal.
Do you think they're still going to run the ball? Let me finish this. The reason I'm saying this is this: he's coming, and I mean, notice I'm reading. He's coming off an injury. He's a skill player versus a defensive player or maybe an offensive lineman. So, skill players have a tendency to get beat up more because the fact is they're a high impact position, especially running back. They're not going to give him a full load coming straight back off of a dislocated elbow. He's going to have spot duty, and he's going to have a certain amount of carries that they're going to give him, and they're going to not going to give him too much of a big load. So you're talking about Knowshon Moreno and doing different things in this offense. He's not going to do that because the fact is, or they're going to temper it because he's coming back off an injury, and he's not fully healthy.
That's my point. That's my point. They're going to keep fresh legs in. Lamar Miller and Knowshon Moreno, they're going to alternate, of course, and therefore when they do that, when they alternate, it's going to give them an opportunity to run that defensive line, which is already porous, into the ground for Green Bay. That's why that's how I think it's going to be a close game. Now, whether or not it happens is left to be seen. That's what I would do if I was the head coach and offensive coordinator. That might not be what Joe Philbin wants to do. It would be stupid, but I think he needs to run the ball with both those backs and mix in Damian Williams and the other cat sometime. But I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I think that's the formula for Miami to keep the game close and possibly win it.
I understand that's the mindset to keep it away from the offense. But you're going into the game, and I'm looking at it, you're going into the game down 14 points. Down 14 points because your offense and defense are even. As amount of points you score, that's the amount of points the defense gives up. So you're down 14 points because Green Bay scores 28 more points than they give up. And they played five games versus Miami in four games. So I just split the difference of 14 points. Miami goes into that game down 14. That's how I see it.
okay. I mean, we know you need bifocals and all.
No, and can they make up that 14 points to win the game? Or to possibly – no, they can't. They don't have that type of offense.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean it won't happen.
Excuse me?
That doesn't mean it won't happen. You know, I think it's a possibility. I really do. But
use this
anyway.
in a three-team parlay. I don't know what the point spread is for Miami and Green Bay, but this is one of my three-team parlays. They're going to win this game by at least 10 points.
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, everybody, to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play. Play your three-team parlay. So you gave them one. You got to give them the other two so that we can get some winners out here today. Again, let's go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com. And play this three-team parlay Jerry's going to give us. Listen, if he hits, if he's right, he's right. I'm just telling you. He's saying play the point spread, apparently. I'm saying it's going to be close, so I wouldn't play the point spread. That's just me. Let's move on to a game that has a little bit of people interested because we got some intrigue here. Reggie Bush might not be playing. Well, it looks like he's not playing. Calvin Johnson is not playing. Detroit goes to Minnesota outdoors on AstroTurf. Drake Bell's returning from a concussion. I'll take Minnesota. You take Detroit. Teddy Bridgewater's coming back off an ankle injury. He says if it was a Sunday game a couple weeks ago, he could have played. And he might have been the big difference between what Christian Ponder did versus what he could have offered the team. And if anybody has any hopes on Christian Ponder, that's ridiculous. That kid is worthless. Sorry. He's a Florida State guy. Their quarterbacks usually flounder. Look at Jameis Winston right now, probably going to get kicked off the team. But anyway, Kyle Rudolph's not there. AP's not there. Cordero Patterson has been getting less and less attention. Matt Asiata, though he's not getting any yards, he's finding the end zone, and he's finding it a lot. One of the jewels that Jerry gave you a couple weeks back, Mr. McKinnison, he's okay, but he's coming in every other series, and he hasn't been that big of a boom just yet. But you can keep him. Matt Asiata is definitely the gold line back. He's the one that is getting the bulk of the yards and touchdowns. But other than that, what do you have on offense? Greg Jennings is doing well. Wright is doing well. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Minnesota is in deep doo-doo, even though they're at home. I like the young kid. I like Teddy Bridgewater. But Ndamukong Suh likes Teddy Bridgewater, too. He's going to probably take Teddy Bridgewater's lunch money, and the rest of that Detroit line defense is going to probably step up and smack him around quite a bit. I don't see Asiata or McKinnon getting anything on the ground versus this team. They might get a few yards, yes. They might even get a touchdown or two. But I don't see a lot of production out of Minnesota's offense in this game. Now, their defense might be a different story, only because it's a little banged-up offense on Detroit. You might have a few things go right for them. They're not that bad. Barr might even get a few sacks. The kid's quietly having a good season thus far. He's a rookie. And you never know what will happen in this game. But I don't see Minnesota doing much in this game, JT. What do you have?
Minnesota.
And is it time to trade Megatron?
Well, let me answer. Let me say this first. Detroit's given up the fourth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. And they've given up the 10th fewest fantasy points to running backs. But I still say if you have room on your roster, you keep McKinnon because he's going to be the one sooner or later that's going to take over that job when it's that time of the season when the team starts looking at its younger players. Anyway, no, you don't trade Megatron. Megatron's got a different type of injury compared to A.J. Green. Megatron, I know he hasn't been what everyone thought. There was a few players that I just had a feeling about. I didn't express this one out, but I had a feeling about you draft these players high, and my gut's been pretty good to me. And they don't perform like they were drafted. Megatron's one of them so far. But I think, I know they're going to shut him down this week. He's not playing this week, folks. So if you're counting on Megatron, more likely you're going to sit him anyway because he's banged up, and he needs to sit with a high ankle sprain to try to heal up as much as he can. And the added rest may do him well for the following week. But you don't trade Megatron. No way. You're not going to get value for Megatron anyway. That you could possibly get if he was healthy, if you were crazy enough to deal him, when he's healthy. So there's no need to even entertain that fact. Detroit, Drake Bell's healthy. Reggie Bush is going to test out his ankle tomorrow before game time. They're playing in Minnesota. Outdoors, on grass.
Nope.
Stafford, really? Huh?
It's not real grass.
Oh, turf, whatever it is. But they're outside, okay? They're out in an open stadium. So, being that as it may, these teams that are usually they're used to playing inside, dome teams on their specific turf, have a tendency to play a lot different. And you've experienced it in these other games that dome teams play outside. But it's Minnesota, rookie quarterback, not a prolific offense compared to Detroit. Tough divisional game. I like Detroit in this game.
Okay. Let's move on to Denver.
And the point spread, Green Bay Packers -3 over the Dolphins.
Well, then there you go. There you go. Then that's where I am. That's what I'm saying. So take the 3 points, guys. Moving on real quick, because we only got 30 minutes left. We have a slew of games to go through. Denver at the Jets. Not much to say here. I'm not even going to give Jerry an opportunity to talk about his beloved Jets.
Don't try to slip that shit past me. I'm sorry. Don't try to slip that past me.
Dude, come on. Okay.
Don't try to slip that past me like that. You said it real quick, and you expect me not to respond to that?
Come on, Jerry.
It's not my beloved Jets. In fact, let me interject this real quick. I don't know; it doesn't make a difference who you give me, but I had an opportunity. My sister, who happens to be a diehard Denver fan, texted me was it yesterday, day before yesterday, texted the whole family on whether who wanted to go with her to a this game, I didn't take her up on it. I had no interest in this game, so. That's just so you know.
Okay, you're hiding your emotions. It's fine. Denver has all of its weapons in the passing game. Ronnie Hillman looks like he's going to start. Yeah, I got you anyway. Ronnie Hillman's going to start this game. Translation: Peyton Manning throwing for 500 yards in this terrible Jets secondary. Now, Geno Smith, Geno's going to have to be running for his life in this game. Eric Decker's supposed to come back, but I don't know. This is his former team. I know he wants to put on a good show for him, but you got Geno Smith at quarterback. Not a good look here. Listen, I wouldn't play Eric Decker or Chris Ivory in this game. Those would be the only two people that would possibly give you anything fantasy-wise, but I wouldn't play him unless I had to. Denver, all the way. This is going to be a laugher, in my opinion. You're going to hear Blue Chance. You're going to hear We Want Vic. I'm quite sure Vic's not going to say he didn't prepare this week like he did for last week. But we'll see what happens. Denver, play all of them. Emmanuel Sanders, I believe, is going to get off in this game. I believe it's Wes Welker's turn to have a big game, but I don't know if Peyton's going to focus on him this week. But last week it was Demaryius Thomas. Before that it was Emmanuel Sanders. It might even be and before that it was the tight end Thomas. So it's Wes Welker's turn if you want to go that way. But I'm playing every Denver Bronco on offense that I have access to. We'll move on to unless Jerry wants to say the Jets are going to win this game, or we don't want to hear anything about the Jets. So
Denver is an 8.5-point favorite. That's my other part of the 8.5 points. I'm looking at something here, and maybe it's different on your website, but it's 8.5 points, and that's my second of three-team parlay. I think they're going to blow the Jets out. No shot with the Jets.
So Green Bay to cover 3, Denver to cover 3. I mean 8.
Denver to cover 8.5.
I believe it to be so. Now Baltimore, Tampa Bay. Here's the game that I want to talk about real quick, Jerry, and we can spend like maybe 3 or 4 minutes on it because we can fly through the remaining games. A trade in this league called the Dudes Fantasy Football League on Yahoo. I'm in. One gentleman was going to trade Steve Smith and Riley Cooper for Jimmy Smith, Chris Ivory, and two other a linebacker, and another player.
Wait a minute. Go back, because you said Jimmy Smith. I don't know who that is.
Not Jimmy Smith. Steve Smith. Steve Smith and Riley Cooper for Jimmy Graham, Chris Ivory, Lamar Miller was the linebacker. Lamar or something. I can't remember his name. He's a linebacker for the Bengals. And two other players, right? So it was essentially 4-for-2 deal. And the guy was dropping two other players. My contention was that this was a terrible trade because Jimmy Smith, in my opinion, Jimmy Graham. Yeah, Jimmy Graham for Steve Smith is a straight-up fair deal, in my opinion, based upon the value of
these
players.
That's not even straight up, but go ahead.
But the 2-for-4 deal was terrible, in my opinion. Your thoughts real quick on this, and then we get to the game.
I'll give you two words. How's that? Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. I mean, who would absolutely propose that trade and think it's an even trade or even close to being an even trade? And anybody in that league, they should absolutely run to the veto button and click veto with that. That isn't even close. That isn't even close.
It went through. Just to let you know.
What?
Looks like I'm the only one who wanted to veto it.
What? Are you kidding me? Jimmy Graham by himself with Steve Smith and who was the other guy, Chris Ivory?
It was Riley Cooper and Steve Smith for Chris Ivory, Jimmy Graham, a linebacker, and another player.
Well, let me put it this way. Riley Cooper and Steve Smith and Jimmy Graham on the other side is passable. But then you start adding a running back and whoever else. I mean, come on. That isn't even close. That's ridiculous.
I agree.
That's ridiculous.
I invited the two owners to come on the show today, and they obviously didn't take me up on it. They might have been listening in the chat because I saw a few people come to the chat room. But I thought
that makes no sense. Is this in one of your ESPN or Yahoo leagues?
Yahoo leagues. It's a big money league too. So,
oh man,
you know,
come on! That's stupid. That's stupid. The guy's really gone jumping on the Steve Smith Triple S, I should say. Bandwagon, really, because Riley Cooper is just a throw-in. He's really nobody. So he's really saying Steve Smith is a big name that he's given out there with Riley Cooper. And then Jimmy Graham, and somebody's praying on because Jimmy Graham's hurt and he's on a bye, and he's throwing Chris Ivory and whoever else. Come on. That isn't even close. That's highway robbery. The guy who got Jimmy Graham just Jimmy Graham without the other one, stole that. But he's got Chris Ivey, who's a starting running back, and then he's got whoever else he's thrown in. That's crazy.
Crazy. I agree. I guess, you know, I'm the only one with sense or thought it was sensible. Of course, again, in this league, even though I have great players, I'm sitting at 1-4. So, you know, it is what it is. Shady McCoy is disappointing me and some other players, but we're going to get to this later. Right now, let's go to that Baltimore-Tampa Bay game, where Steve Smith, who is probable, I think he's going to play, is going to face, I'll take Baltimore, you take Tampa Bay. He's going to face a resurgent Tampa Bay defense and offense. And we're going to make this quick because we got to fly. Justin Forsett, Bernard Pierce, they're going to be fighting for time. That leaves Taliaferro just blowing in the wind a little bit. He didn't get that many touches last week, and I don't think he's going to get that many this week. Bernard Pierce is trying to get his job back pretty much. And, you know, Joe Flacco, if he can get protection, can sling the ball down there to Steve Smith. Torrey Smith is an afterthought. I'm only playing him in certain leagues because I have nothing better. If I had something better, I would bench or get rid of his butt. Now, with that being said, I like Baltimore in this game, even though Tampa Bay's at home, only because Mr. Lovie Smith is a little bit skeptical on keeping Mike Glennon at quarterback. He said he's not sure if he's going to ride him out for the rest of the season. And that doesn't bode well for Tampa Bay fans, in my opinion. Go ahead, Jerry.
You know, Matt, that could be one of the reasons why he left Chicago, because he can't see his nose despite his face. But obviously, Mike Glennon is the right fit for this team playing. -3 is the point spread over Tampa Bay. Joe Flacco doesn't play well on the road. And the other thing is Mike Glennon has a mere 65% passer rating when teams blitz him, which, you know, the Ravens are going to try to blitz him, because when they don't blitz him, when he's not facing the blitz, his passer rating is 102, or over 102. So they're going to try to keep the pressure on him. But Joe Flacco does not play well on the road. Okay, this is going to be a close game, in my opinion. Tampa Bay is probably going to still lose the game, but it's going to be an interesting game to watch. And you got to put the young quarterback in and let him keep on developing game by game.
Agreed. Let's move on. Jacksonville, Tennessee, where Charlie Whitehurst looks like he's going to start again. And Justin Hunter, there's a Justin Hunter sighting. He started 3 receptions, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Will that become a trend? We'll see. I'll take Tennessee. You take Jacksonville. We'll do this real quick. As I said, Whitehurst looks like he's going to play. And if he's going to play, then that could be a good thing for Justin Hunter fans, because he likes to throw the ball to Justin Hunter. Bishop Sankey also took over the starting job. What does that mean for you? Bishop Sankey has an opportunity to get the rushing yards and control the clock and stuff like that. But they're still bringing in Sean Green. Sean Green is doubtful to play, though. I don't know what else to say about this Tennessee team. They're disappointing, to say the least, right now. But if I had to play somebody, Justin Hunter. Grab him off the waiver wire if you can. JT.
Who am I taking here?
Jacksonville.
Gee, thanks. Thanks.
You do it to Lance all the time. You do it to Lance all the time. Come on, let's go.
No, I usually give Lance the better team, and I take the short team. Anyway,
I did give the better team a couple few times, but go ahead.
Jacksonville, I usually alternate it. I don't stay one way or the other, but that's not neither here nor there. All I can say is this is a ugly game. Ugly game. I don't know who to take in this game. Where are they playing at?
Tennessee.
I'll take Tennessee in this game. I don't like too much on anything, especially today. I may say something tomorrow, but all I can say is I'll take Tennessee.
Cool. Looks like Cecil Short might not even play this game. He's probable, but he might not play. That means Allen Hurns and Robson out there on the corners. Toby Gerhardt is out. That means Denard Robson is going to get his chance to be a featured back. I don't know. I don't know, former Michigan Wolverine.
You're wrong, but that's okay. Like, if you listen to tomorrow's show, I'll give you some things out
real
of this
quick.
Game.
Real quick.
Huh?
Tell me who's the starting running back then. Tell me who the starting running back is. Come on, tell me. Tell everybody.
Excuse
come
me?
On.
What's
tell
that?
Everybody who's the starting running back. Who the starting
that's
running
gonna
back
tomorrow.
Is.
That's going to be tomorrow. That's going to be tomorrow. I told you what I like. I like Tennessee in this game.
All right, let's go San Diego, Oakland. You're such a mean Grinch. San Diego goes to Oakland. Now listen. Jerry's former favorite quarterback in all the world. I'll take Oakland. I'll let him take San Diego. It's supposed to start this game. We're talking about Matt Schwab. Matt Schwab is supposed to play the quarterback. Are you? What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about?
I'll just go ahead. Go ahead, Vic. You won't have much time. Go ahead.
All right, Matt Schwab is supposed to play quarterback. But they were also talking about bringing up that other kid and let him play. I forgot his name, but Jerry can correct me. Instead of waiting until tomorrow, he can probably correct me today if I'm wrong. But it still remains that James Jones is the number one target out there in Oakland. And he's the guy to get. He's the guy to have. I mean, he's leading in targets and receptions. He's in the top five, I believe, in the NFL in this area. It's unfortunate he's playing on a team that really sucks. Now, Run DMC and MJD is going to go against a strong San Diego defense. I am not condoning or saying play either. If you have no choice, play Run DMC. I don't believe that they're going to let MJD tote the rock that much. But the only other option in the passing game is James Jones. So play James Jones. I'm picking San Diego to walk away in this game, even though it's here in Oakland. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, they just picked up a heck of a receiver from New England, and I'm being sarcastic here, Cambrell Tompkins. This is a hot mess, okay? This game shouldn't even be close at all. San Diego the point spread is like 7 points over Raiders. I know, of course, it's a division rival and plus the fact it's in Oakland. But if San Diego comes to play, this shouldn't be close. With Tony Sparano, who is absolutely horrible coach, they're going to run the ball, and supposedly, there's going to be a split in the carries between Run DMC and MJD. But for my money, I go with the younger kid. Sperano's not married to any one of these old guys, and I like Latavius Murray. Not to play him, but if you have room on your roster, and I know I say this a lot, but I put Latavius Murray because at some point, they're going to go to these guys, we know what they can do. The season's lost. Let's put the young kid in and let the young kid run and see what happens. That's what I'm talking about, Latavius Murray. Otherwise than that, I can't see San Diego losing to Oakland. Not in this patch with an old-ass team.
Mr. Oliver, the muscle-bound Darren Sproles, is showing that he belongs in the NFL. He came in last week and did something that nobody really has done all year, which is run hard and all over the Jets' defense. And that was amazing. But I know that hurt Jerry's heart, so we're going to leave that alone. But you're still laughing.
No, I'm laughing because I see what you're doing, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yes. What am I doing?
You're trying to give people some fantasy pointers. But that's okay. I understand that. I understand.
Jerry, come on now. I'm still listening to the master plan. Come on. You got to share a little bit. But let's go.
I am sharing.
Not the ones I want you to share. But let's go to the game that's going to make me $100 richer. We're talking about Washington going to Arizona. Now, I'm going to take my team quite naturally, and I'll let Jerry take Arizona. He has an insight that Drew Stanton's going to play, so we'll let him talk about that. But Washington coming off a close game that they could have won last week, but fell just a little bit short Monday night because they couldn't stop the running of Wilson. It's kind of ironic that the quarterback running of Wilson defeated the Redskins when they had a quarterback in RG3, who they used to practice against all the time, do the same thing to them. So it wasn't Marshawn Lynch that killed them. It was the quarterback. Now, in this game, I think the defense is going to bone up and lay a little wood to some of these receivers and running backs. I also believe that with the banged-up front seven of Arizona, it's going to be tough as nails for Arizona to stop Alfred Morris. I believe they're going to try to do a little ball control, and if need be, get into a shootout. I believe that they have the weapons because, remember, Andre Roberts, he was in Arizona last year as well. So he can play in that dome on the grass, and he's been pretty effective. 2 touchdowns in the last 2 games. But the guy that's been kind of closed out is Pierre Garçon. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, Pierre Garçon is still a good receiver, but I think he's a little trade bait. Sell him on the low for something a little better. Try to get something a little better for him, in my opinion. Jerry might have a different synopsis on that, but I think that's a good idea. But nevertheless, of course, I'm going to say hail to the Redskins, and they're going to win this game. I actually think the Redskins are going to blow them out. I think they're going to blow them out at University of Phoenix Stadium. And I think they can do it. Go ahead, JT.
Well, quite naturally, Vic hopes for a blowout. That means he doesn't have to bite his nails and cross his toes and eyes and hope, if it's a close game, that the Washington Redskins have to pull it out. Andre Ellington has 5 runs of 15 yards or more this season. He's going to be able to gas the Washington Redskins and then beat him over the top with play action. Trust me when I say this, the Washington Redskins are 3.5-point underdogs to the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's going to win by a touchdown. Arizona's going to win by a touchdown, people. They're going to win by a touchdown. And when that happens, I'm just going to sit back, open up my page on my website that has my bank account in it, and wait for my $100 to get deposited.
Whatever,
from Mr. Gardner. And he'll lose the second part of our bet
we have
going this year.
We shall see. You're such a loser, you don't know. All right. we got about 5 minutes left live there. We got 4 games to go through, so we're going to have to go through these real quick. Chicago at Atlanta. Let's just give our predictions real quick. I think Chicago can throw all over Atlanta's defense. And Matt Ryan can do a little bit of the same. This is going to be probably the biggest scoring game of the weekend. I'm picking Chicago. Even though Atlanta really loses their home, I think they'll do well. But Chicago wins this game. JT.
Just like New Orleans, they play a lot better when they're home. And guess what? They're playing home. I like Atlanta in this game.
All right. Let's move on out to a game that's going to be looked at by many, many people, Dallas at Seattle. This will decide if Dallas is a real contender. If Seattle is going to stop DeMarco Murray, they're going to stop. So that means, will Tony Romo's back flare up, and will the short pass game come into play, or will they still try to go deep? I have no idea, but I think Seattle continues on their run and defeats Dallas soundly up in Seattle. What you got, JT?
Seattle's favored by 8 at home. Good luck, Seattle.
Move on to the Sunday night game where the Giants take on Philadelphia. With Rashad Penny's gone, a good play here is Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams seems to be a very powerful running back. He's been taken in a lot of leagues and a lot of formats. That's a good pickup, especially going against Philadelphia's defense, who by Kerry Williams says is beat up and tired. But Philly's at home. And this could be the game that Shady McCoy, along with Nick Foles, explodes. I really think it can happen. I'm going to pick Philly at home to stop New York's 3-game win streak. What you got?
Well, there have been a war of words between these two teams, which is nothing new because this is the division rival, and they really don't like each other. Even the cities really don't like each other, New York versus Philly. Blood and guts, toe-to-toe. Giants are 3-point underdogs to Philadelphia in Philly. I like Philly.
Same here, my friend. That takes us to Monday night. Monday night, where you're going to have the St. Louis Rams taking on the San Francisco 49ers in St. Louis. Now, Austin Davis has been a very, very good quarterback, and this is going to be a good test for him against that pass rush of the 49ers. But let's hear from Patrick Willis and see what he thinks about going against a Jeff Fisher-coached team.
A physical football team, they get after guys. You know, Coach Fisher, you know, he's a guy that's been known for some tricks up his sleeves. So, you know, we have to be aware of that. But he's coaching those guys well. Those guys are playing tough football. And, again, you know, we just have to come out on Monday night and give everything we got. Man, as I said before, you know, our schedule doesn't get any easier.
So, therefore, I'm looking for Brian Quick. I'm looking for Kenny Stills. And the word is that Casey's going to play. So people like me who went and got Benny Cunningham, put him on your bench for a minute, and we'll see what happens. But it's always a close game between these two. In St. Louis, unless they run the ball, I see San Francisco losing this game to St. Louis on Monday night. What you got, JT?
49ers are allowing the eighth fewest yards per carry. Paris Cox has kept opposing quarterbacks to a 28.6 passer rating when they target him in coverage. That's three interceptions and 30 targets. 49ers are favored by 3 points. Colin Kaepernick, this is one of these teams that Colin Kaepernick historically has difficulty with, especially in St. Louis. Like I said, the 49ers are favored by 3 points. And this is going to be one of those division games that you flip a coin, and then whatever the coin comes up, that's who's going to win this. You know what? I know Vic's going with St. Louis Rams. I'm going to have to go to the 49ers. I think they'll find a way to pull this out against the young Austin Davis.
Okay. Not a bad pick. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game for sure. But ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our picks as well as our show. We got about 2 minutes left alive here, so let me do this. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JKKM Money, along with Lance, NFL Exporter Goodman, are going to bring to you their gems, their jewels, their family jewels on fantasy football tomorrow. Mainly because Jerry didn't use his family jewels today. He's going to try to keep them all for tomorrow, which is fine. I understand. We're one big family here. We're one big family here.
I did give you some jewels. I did give you some gems. Not all of them.
I know. You're just stingy. Okay, so anyway, tomorrow, 10 a.m., Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHPK. We're going to try to condense it and get everything done within an hour and a half, at max 2 hours, because we got to keep the shows on track here. I can't post them to spotonradio.webs.com if they're going over 100 megabytes. So I got to make sure we stay on track tomorrow, JT. I'll try not to interfere. I'll probably just listen in, but we'll see what happens. With that said, that's then. Then on Monday, you have NFL Exporter with Lance Goodman at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, along with myself, getting you ready for Monday Night Football and reviewing all of the stuff that went down on the master plan. Then on Thursdays, you got the FSP Crew Show doing that thing at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, getting you ready for Monday Night Football, as well as giving you a week's review of what happened in the world of sports. With that being said, you've got 20 seconds, JT, to get out what you want to get out. What you got to say, JT?
Tune in tomorrow. I didn't have a good week last week. I'll try to make it up for you this week with all the picks that Lance and I have to make.
Well, you know, if you just listen to me and gave his gems on the show, we would have that problem. But it's okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's time to get out of here. And with that being said, JT, I'm going to see you tomorrow, homeboy. This was something a long time. We got out on time. We got out of the show on time. What did you say? It's been a while. We're out.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take
take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.